Okay, you may be seated. And wow, Gene and I, what an honor it is to be able to be members of this church and have Bill and Sue Hart as our pastors. We're grateful, and well, it's just a privilege to be able to minister here as you celebrate 35 years as a church. That's quite a while. And you honor your pastors who've been here for 35 years. That's a long time. You know, the average tenure in America for pastors is 2.5 years. So I think that Bill and Sue Hart surpassed that a long time ago. And a long time ago. I brought some notes just in case I forget what I'm supposed to say. I can read. Hallelujah. I want to read from Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to preach a little while, and then we're going to pray. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What an honor it's been to come and minister this church for 33 years. Can you imagine? I was 42 years old when I first started preaching here in this church. Y'all were babies. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, you got that? Beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What did he say when building on Peter? He said, on this rock. Who is the rock? What's his name? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on the rock, the revelation that you are receiving. And I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the church, the corporate body of the church, the national church, the worldwide church, which we're part of. But I'm thankful for the local church. And so Jesus said, I'm going to go away to heaven, but I'm going to establish the church. And so he began to give instructions. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, I'll read it to you. What does it mean, but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And who descended into the lower parts of the earth, and who descended is also the one who ascended. I better read that for you. Ascended. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll just read it here. I had it in my notes, but I'll read it from the original version. Now this he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, to the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings. So God established the church and the local church. I know there's a translocal church, there's a universal church, but I'm thankful he established the local church. You know, I've had a rare privilege to have been in church all of my life. My daddy, O.C. Gentry, the original O.C., was a Pentecostal preacher. And sometimes he was a pastor, sometimes he was a jail minister, but sometimes he was a prayer leader, but he was a preacher of the gospel. And God called him to preach after he was 40 years old, but he ended up and got his 50-year pen of preaching with the Assemblies of God. And so I literally grew up in church. All as long as I can remember, I was in church. And we had church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, for many, many years. And we were always in church. I grew up in church, and I could count on my two hands the number of times I missed a Sunday morning service. It was not an option in the O.C. and Delia Gentry household. Every Sunday morning, we went to church. If we were sick, my dad laid hands on me, anointed me with oil, and we went to church. We did not miss church. And so I grew up in that atmosphere. And I believe I am what I am today because I grew up in the house of God. I grew up with people singing and shouting and running around the building and speaking in all those different languages. So I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a classical Pentecostal, even though I've had the privilege of ministering in many, many different churches and places. But it was that atmosphere of the local church that I grew up in. And when I would come home from school, I didn't know if my mom and dad would be speaking English or speaking another language. I didn't know. And I did not, I grew up in a household of faith. My mom and dad never took me to a doctor until I was 16 years old. And I got so sick, they took me to the doctor. But I never went to a doctor until I was 16. Because every time that I was sick, my dad would lay hands on me, anoint me with oil, and pray. And then he would use some home remedies like castor oil and, oh, Jesus. What else was it? If I had a sore throat, he'd put a cold oil rag around my neck. And if I had an earache, he would go get my Uncle Jeff and have him to blow cigarette smoke in my ear and then put a piece of cotton on it. So it was amazing, those home remedies. But I grew up in an atmosphere where three things were principal. The family, which included our neighbors around us, the family and the school and the church. You got to realize that the school in America for over 100 years met in the local church house. School on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, do the chores on Saturday, and then Sunday would be church. For over 100 years, the Bible was the only textbook in our public school system. For over 100 plus years, McGuffey's Reader and the Bible were the only two things in our public school system. Harvard and Yale were started to train preachers who wanted to preach the gospel. How far we have wandered. But basically, America was started on the principles of the Word of God and the church. And so I grew up with the family and with the school where we prayed every morning. We read the Bible. We saluted the flag, and we didn't kneel when we saluted the flag. We stood upright. And when the Star Spangled Banner was played, we put our hands on our heart. And so God, and I grew up in this incredible atmosphere of home and school and church. And I learned to respect the church. And I learned to honor the church because it was the house of God. It was the place that we went on Sunday. As I was growing up, for most of my life, Sunday was the Lord's Day. We didn't have businesses that were open except those that were necessary. And on Wednesday night when I grew up, we never had any school activities because that was prayer meeting night. But gradually we've gotten away from that. But I grew up in that atmosphere, and I'm so thankful that I did. I love the local church. I'm thankful, Gene and I are thankful to have a church home. I don't attend every Sunday because I have a radio church, and I've got members who somehow don't have a church, wander from church, work on Sundays, I don't know. So I minister to them every Sunday morning. But I treasure the local church, and a radio church will never take place of a local church. It's a place where we can come and hear the Word of God. It's a place where we can come and make friends and have fellowship. It's a place where we can come and worship. And as I grew up, the church was the central theme. People had their friends in the church. And the church was a part. That's where they got married. That's, you know, you don't have very many weddings in the church today. But in those days, we all had weddings in the church, and the bride would come down the aisle with the music of "Here Comes the Bride." We don't have much of that anymore. So things are changing, but God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He still loves the church. And I'm thankful, Gene and I are thankful to be members of this church. We are thankful to have had the opportunity to have ministered in this church for 33 years. Anybody here when we first came 33 years ago? Oh, wow, Jennifer says she was here. There's a few of you guys that were here. There comes Eric. He's played for me many, many times, many hours. God bless you. And so we love this church. We love the church. I'm a product of the local church. I'm a product of the local church. My kids grew up in church. They're products of the church. And we are the hope of this nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? The church is the hope of this nation. That's why the devil hates the church. But I love this church because this is a loving church. This is a friendly church. This is a warm church. This is a giving church. This is an awesome church. I'm thankful and I'm honored to be, Gene and I are thankful and honored to be members of this church. But this church would have never existed, would have never happened unless a man and woman by the name of Bill and Sue Hart were called to Austin, Texas.
That's right.
The Bible says in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God. You know, Gene and I grew up in the atmosphere where people were called to preach. And preachers were chosen as pastors. Preacher, teacher. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Those are not just every Sunday people in the church, in the local church. But then the pastor teacher, he's the one that establishes the church. And I'm a little amazed today that so many, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anyone, but so many today are not, they don't want to be called pastor. They want to be called the leader. Do you understand that you can hire a leader who's just an administrator to lead a church?
Yeah.
Or somebody that feels like that they have a good gift of management and they'll lead the church? I don't want a leader.
Amen.
I want a pastor.
That's right.
And pastor denotes shepherd. In fact, the Latin word for pastor is shepherd. And Jesus, he declared that I am the good shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I give myself. Jesus said, I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. You realize that that shepherd denotes the great men of old. Jacob, who later became Israel, he was a shepherd. His son Joseph was a shepherd. What about Moses? Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert being a shepherd. So he shepherded, I don't know how many million people, and didn't even get to go in. He got to look at it. But he was a shepherd. And Jesus said, I am a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. Let's read about it in John 10. I'll just read a little bit. John 10. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, to destroy. What did the shepherd do? Huh? He guarded the sheep. He watched over the sheep because there were wolves, there were enemies out there to destroy. So we know the thief is the devil. He's come to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that they might have life and they have it more abundantly. I am, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Does what? Gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, does not care about the sheep. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and know my own. As the Father knows me, even as I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. What did he say? He said, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. I have to say that the most integral part of my life, and then Gene and I, we've been married for 58 years, the most integral part of our life has been not just the church, but our pastor. And I can, I was going back and rehearse if I can find my list here. I was going back and rehearsing this morning. I've had 12 pastors in my life. 12 pastors. And when I first got a pastor, we called them brother. I had Brother Roper. I had Brother Snodgrass. Yeah, that's a cool name. Brother Snodgrass, Brother Thompson. I had Brother McGee. I had Brother Blair. That's all we call them is brother and by their last name. And then finally I got Dr. Lee. Finally got a doctor for a pastor. And then I got Pastor Ron. Then we started calling them by their first name, Pastor. And then I got Pastor Bob Nichols and Pastor Bill Hart. And all of these men, over the years, as I was growing up, including my dad, O.C. Gentry, but Gene and I, we started our marriage by attending church and having a pastor. And a pastor is one that is not just a hireling. You know, there's a lot of churches today, they go out and hire their preacher. They have to... You know, they apply for a church or send in their bio, their resume, and they preach a couple of times, and the church votes on them. I knew a pastor that they voted on him every year for 18 years. So the last 3 months before his election, he had to be very careful that he did not offend anybody. So they hired them a preacher. And the preacher stayed there as long as he did not make somebody in the congregation angry or upset. I'm talking about maybe two or three people in the congregation. A hireling. But I believe the pastor is one that comes. We give particularly honor to someone that births a church, someone that is willing to come to a city and lay down their life and say, I'm here. I'm going to birth the church. I'm going to start the church, even the living room of our home. And that's what my dad did when we moved to Comanche, Oklahoma, when I was just a little boy. Started in the living room of our home. And I personally know, as the son of a pastor, what the pastor goes through, what they endure. Even on vacation, they're subject to be called back to preach a funeral, or somebody's in critical condition, or there's a marriage problem. I personally knew that. That's why I did not want, when I was growing up, I did not want to be a preacher or a pastor. No way, Jose. No. I want to be a disc jockey, a radio announcer. So Mrs. Bicknell, my 8th grade teacher, said to me one day, Dale, you're going to be a radio announcer. And I said, yes. So I went off to school, did my dues, become a radio announcer, engineer. Jean and I bought us a home, and we were living happily ever after until a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson came to our church in Wichita Falls in June of 1966, and God called me to preach after he preached one Sunday night. And Jean said, I'll go where you go. I remind her that today. She said, I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what I was buying into. But the call of God was upon my life. It was not just, I think I'm going to be a preacher. I think maybe, no, Jean and I submitted ourselves to God and said, this is what we'll do. And then in 1967, we started pastoring for 18 years. We were pastors, and then I began to travel. Jean and I began to travel, leading prayer, serving as a prophetic voice to churches in America and different parts of the world. But the church, we always had a church, and we always had a pastor. And I love you guys. I love this congregation. But Gene and I are here because of this man and this woman. And I can stand and say, after knowing, he's been my pastor now for 6.5 years, but he's been my friend for 33 years. And Gene and I, when we started traveling, the Holy Spirit gave me instructions. It said, don't you go from place to place. You go where there is a connection. You go where there is a relationship. There's two things I really need in my life. I need a church. I need a pastor. And if I veer off of that, and I don't have any name, I don't know who my pastor is, I don't know where my church is, I get lost in the crowd. I lose my moorings. I lose my direction. I need a pastor that knows my name.
Right.
You know how many people today will attend a church in Austin or somewhere in America, and they'll just watch a man on a screen preach, and that man will never know who they are. That man will never be able to do a wedding for their children or preach a funeral for them or their members of their family. That person won't be able to visit them in the ER. Personally, I need a pastor that knows my name. I don't want to just go somewhere and get lost in the crowd because the music is good, or the lighting is good, or the temperature is good, or the message is good. No, I need a shepherd.
Right.
A shepherd is one that feeds you, and he watches for you. He prays for you.
When Jean was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, I still read my book that she wrote, and I in there it talks about this church praying for Jean and I.
Amen.
We needed that.
Yes.
So a pastor is one that feeds me and instructs me, watches for me, lays down his life for me, cares for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so many people, they get off base, they get lost somewhere. I met a young lady the other day and she said, "Oh, you go to Austin Cathedral?" Yes. Yeah, she said, "Well, Papa Hart is my pastor, Papa Bill is my pastor, but I just hadn't been in many, many months." So people get lost. They get scattered. They rise on Sunday morning thinking, "Well, shall I go or shall I not go? Or am I doing okay?" I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the pastor. And today, I honor this church for 35 years. Do you know how long? You know what it takes to keep a church going for 35 years? Do you know what all is involved? I mean, just preparing a sermon for a pastor, it takes hours. And it's more than preparing a sermon. It's praying over the sheep. It's watching for the sheep. It's caring for the sheep. It's calling.
Yes, amen.
It's interceding. It's wondering who's going to come through the doors today. And when the service is over, you think about who didn't come.
Right.
And after you don't see them a few weeks, you say, "Where did they go? What happened to them?" That's the heart of a true shepherd. Do you know what it takes for a man and a woman to come and stay for 33 years in one place? Do you know what it takes? So when I think about Bill Hart, you know, the Bible said in somewhere in the Bible, I'll repeat that. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man by the name of Simeon. The Bible said he was a good man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. The Bible said he was a good man. When I think about Bill Hart, I think about Bill being a good man. He's also a wild man. When I used to gather all these pastors who I went in circuit to, that I was in connection with, that I had a relationship with, this man was known as Wild Bill Hart. I've never went to a church where the pastor would pick me up, and by the way, the heart of Texas, somebody's smiling all the way to the bank today if they own that property. He's the only pastor out of all the pastors that I ministered for that sat out in front of the church, listened to Willie Nelson music before the church began. Wild Bill Hart. Bill Hart is a good man. He's a good friend of mine. You know, to say that you've been in a relationship with somebody 33 years, we've had a few arguments. We never came to blow because every time I would look at his boots, I would back off a little bit. But to say that you've had a friend, a good friend, a close friend, a dear friend for 33 years, that's a good pronouncement. He's a good friend, a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, a good pastor, a good shepherd, a wise man, a loyal man, a faithful man, a consistent man, a businessman, a moral man. His children and his grandchildren, I met David and Jennifer, they were teenagers. I've loved David and Jennifer from the first time I met them, and I've grown to love Darren a little bit. And honoring the family. I love this family. Donna, she's been here all the time. Eric, known him since he was just a kid. And others of you, Jack and Pat, I believe y'all were probably here. And I'm not sure about Sheriff, she was here when I came. but a man with a good reputation. You know, the Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And so I have a pastor that has a good marriage, a good family, kids and grandkids. I'm a blessed man. And I want to honor them today. I want to honor you as a church, but I want to honor my pastor and his wife, their family. And just say, let you know that I'm thankful for Bill Hart. When I think about him, I think about a good man, a funny man, a generous man, a friendly man, an adventuresome man. You have anything else you could describe? How would you describe him? Huh?
Good dancer. He's a good dancer.
He's a good dancer.
A scholarly man.
Anybody else have a name?
He's a man who's seen the glory and he loves the glory of God.
Amen. What do you think about Pastor? How would you describe it?
A very loving man.
Papa Bill.
He's a papa man. He's a papa man. You guys have been here a long time. How would y'all describe this man?
Crazy, but consistently inspiring that God can use anyone. And he's just a friend.
Amen.
He is my mentor and my friend. Well, I'm brand new to the church, and I don't know a word to say, but a man who knows God. And a man who is able to draw people closer to the presence of God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
He's an anointed man.
He's an anointed man. Hallelujah. How many people has Pastor Bill Hart influenced over the past 33 years? Preaching online. People that have come and gone, people that still consider him their pastor, even though they may have not been here for a long time. So the Bible said that we're to give honor to him, honor whom honor is due. And I always want to honor. I've always honored my pastor. That's why a few years ago I wanted to raise money to pay their house off so they wouldn't owe any money on their house when they come to their latter years, whatever that may be. I've always wanted to pay pastors' houses off or send them on a cruise or bless them. And I believe that Gene and I are blessed because we've always blessed our pastors. We've always blessed our churches. And what about Sue Hart? Well, I was thinking about Sue today. I wrote down some things about Sue. Sue is she's a good wife, a good mother, a good grandmother, a loyal woman, a gracious woman, a kind woman, a steadfast woman, a woman that stands by her man. Yeah. Oh, that spirit of country music coming on me now. you feel it. You know, I could have never done what I've done without Gene Gentry. How many of you have ever heard Gene preach? Gee, nobody's heard you preach. That's because she doesn't preach. She could preach if she wanted to. I used to be on national television every week, and that's a job. That's work. Don't want that again. And I would say, would you be on television with me today? She said, no, I don't want to be on. I don't know. But I couldn't have made it without her because she is steadfast. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times she sat on the front row of churches across America in different nations of the world and supported me. And just by looking at her, I knew I could do it. I could do it. Always encouraging me, always supporting me. And that's what Sue Hart does.
I don't know how many sermons she's preached in this church. Zero. But this man could have never made it without her.
Amen.
A wife that encourages you and supports you and says, yes, we can do it. Anybody have another word for Sue? You've known Sue Hart for a while.
She's awesome.
Awesome. Anybody have a word for Sue?
I just wanted to say she's very creative and she's beautiful and a loving heart for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't know, she's hilarious. She is a very funny woman, super creative, and she can hold her own, so you never have to worry. She's tough. That's right.
You know what I've discovered about Bill and Sue Hart for 33 years is they're always the same. Always the same. Loving, kind, hospitable. Several times they hosted our circuit pastors gathering in their home. Hospitable, loving, kind, consistent, persistent, and faithful. So, you know, what I'd encourage everybody to do is write them a note or write them a letter. You know, one day Gene and I were pastoring. It was in the 70s in a little town and in Oklahoma, and I got real discouraged. And I really felt, honestly, that I wanted to quit the ministry. I wanted to quit pastoring that church. I wanted to quit the ministry. I was just so discouraged. And I went to the post office, and there was one letter in the mail. And I'll never forget, it was from a woman by the name of Mary Long. And I went home and I opened the letter. And she said, paraphrased, "Pastor, I was thinking about you today, how much I love you, how much I appreciate you." And then she just shared some more thoughts. And I sat there and read the letter, and I cried. I remember I went into the kitchen, I cried so hard I had to get me a towel, and I cried into the towel. And I got up and said, I can do this. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go forward. That was back in the 70s, and I'm still going. But it took just a note, a letter, and I just encourage you, if you will, write Bill and Sue Hart a letter. Let them know how much you appreciate them. A letter is something you can keep. I kept that letter for a long, long time. And I said to Mary later, "You saved my ministry that day, Mary Long." She's in heaven today, but I still remember Mary Long. So, I'm writing my autobiography. I go all the way back to my grandfather, Jim Gentry, who was radio stations wasn't going there, but he owned a telephone company. At 5 o'clock every afternoon, he would call up all the customers and he would share the news with them. So I go all the way back, and I'm sharing my story. I'm sharing my life, and I'm looking at my life. And if I would have to wrap it all up today, how would I describe what life is all about? Was it just having a house paid for, that's good, or having some retirement, that's good, how would I consider my life? When I was growing up as a boy, I grew up in poverty. My dad was a poor preacher. It's one reason I didn't want to be in the ministry. But on the wall of our home in Comanche, Oklahoma, there was a man that came by and he sold mottos. I don't know if anybody had ever heard of mottos. They'd have a little saying on it. It would be blue background or black background, and there would be silver or gold lettering. And my mother bought this motto, and my dad nailed it on the wall. And it said, "Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last."
So how would I conclude if I would say the conclusion of the matter when I look back on my 75 years, and I would say that I live to be a blessing. I don't live to obtain wealth or trying to obtain this or that. My whole life is just to be a blessing. What can I do for you? Is there any way that I can help you? That's why Gene and I poured out our lives. That's why Bill and Sue Hart have poured out their lives to be a blessing. So what would be the conclusion of Dale Gentry? Would be because he has some material wealth? I don't. I don't even have Social Security. I opted out years ago because I was told when I was a young man, by the time you get ready for Social Security, there won't be any here. Do I have a retirement in place? I really don't. But my life has been a life of serving other people. And it's been a very satisfying life. It's been a fulfilling life. To look back as I write my autobiography and think, this is what I was able to do. This is where I was able to minister. This is what I was able to give. Only one life. That's all you got. You're not like the cat with nine lives. You only got one. How are you going to live it? Are you going to live it for yourself? You're going to live it to obtain what you want to obtain and do what you want to do or what makes you happy? Or will your obituary say that was a man or a woman that gave themselves for others? And I am honored to say today that my pastor, Bill and Sue Hart, I honor them today because they've given these 35 years to this church. They could have gone other places. They could have done other things. I personally have known some difficult days that they've gone through. But they did not leave because they're not hirelings.
That's right.
They're not hirelings. And they know your voice and you know their voice. And there's a lot of people today, they run off somewhere, and the person that's the leading the church or congregation, they don't know their voice. You really don't know their voice. Yeah. So today, I'm just here to participate in honoring this church, honoring you as a congregation of people, and honoring this man and this woman who've been our friends for 33 years. I've been able to minister in this church for 33 years. Hallelujah. And to honor Bill Hart, honor his wife who's heard him preach over and over again, and she still shows up. And their children and grandchildren and you. Well, there you have it. I didn't have to read all of my notes. I bless you right now. The Bible says I have the authority to bless. I'm going to bless you. If you want to be a recipient of the blessing, just lift your hand. I'll pray. Lord, I bless the people that have their hands raised. In Jesus' name. I bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Y'all come up front. I want to bless you up here. Y'all, everybody come up. Let's close with prayer. I don't have my watch on. I don't see a clock anywhere. Oh yeah, it is. I see the clock. We're fine.
We're eating here. So.
Oh, you're eating here, so it's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all come on up. Let's pray. Kerotosi kebrite shikatabakuti. Lord, I bless these people. I bless this congregation. I bless this church. I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to be here for 33 years and minister here. I'm thankful for those that came and stayed. A lady that's not been here long, but people like Bill and Sue and has been here all 33 years.
And many of you that's here today, I bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for Austin Cathedral. Let's thank Him for this church. Father, I thank You for this church. The doors are open every Sunday morning. Isn't it amazing that every Sunday morning the doors are open and people can come? I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. We were here before there was ever a mall. We were here before there was ever any of those big condos that are being built. We were here. We're grateful. We're grateful. Lord, thank You for these 35 years. 35 years. I kept saying 33 years for Bill and Sue, but it's been 35 years. Thank You for these 35 years, Lord. Thank You, Lord. All the people that have came here and been ministered to received a word from the Lord, a word from God. Thank You, Lord. For the missionaries that are affiliated with this church and the money that has been given and the seed that has been sown, we thank You, Lord, for seeing us through difficult days and difficult times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Can we bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Thank You for these 35 years. 35 years, Lord, that You've kept us and been with us. Thank You, Lord, for 35 years for Bill and Sue Hart serving this church, coming to Austin and not leaving, sent by God. And I'm thankful, I'm grateful.